Welcome back. Manipulation of one's fellow man, it's not benevolent. It's not philanthropic. It's just manipulative. It's malevolent. So even in a society of perfectionist educational standard, equal progress would not be achieved in every field. There would always be time lags, blind spots, and points of weakness. And the engineering of consent, would still be essential. The engineering of consent will always be needed as an adjunct to or partner of the educational process. Sounds disingenuous. It sounds like you want to manipulate people, and for whatever reason you feel you can't let them come to their own conclusions. If it's a great idea, then it doesn't need force. You don't need to force a good idea upon people. The Reese Committee talking about the changes to education and Thomas McNeice in particular pointing out that in his report to the committee that basically a second American Revolution had occurred, and in studying this revolution, it could not have happened. How did he put it? In his report to the committee titled The Economics of the Public Interest, he wrote, "These original studies of the public interest disclose that during the 4 years, 1933 to 36, a change took place which is so drastic as to constitute a revolution." How did it happen, Mr. McNeice? They also indicated, these original studies of the public interest, indicated conclusively that the responsibility of the economic welfare of the American people, who was it that was saying? Freedom starts with breakfast. Lord Ritchie Calder, that's who it was. I tell my students, freedom begins with breakfast. The liberated slave dies in the ditch. These are the same goofballs making the trolley car dilemma argument a thing. Robots need to understand who to kill first. Is it, this person's economic output is greater than or potential? Therefore, the opportunity cost to society is, it's dishonest. It's manipulative. They also indicated conclusively that the responsibility for the economic welfare of the American people had been transferred heavily to the executive branch of the federal government. Why isn't the economic welfare of the American people in the hands of the American people? That a corresponding change in education had taken place from an impetus outside the local community, and that this revolution had occurred without violence and with full consent of an overwhelming majority of the electorate. In seeking to explain this unprecedented phenomenon, subsequent studies pursued by the staff clearly showed it could not have occurred peacefully or with the consent of the majority unless what? Education in the United States had been prepared in advance to endorse it. And so you have these folks saying, we have to do this, we have to manipulate folks, which sounds a lot like the Robert Owens who say socialism will work just as long as we can, catch the subject at birth or maybe before. You obviously don't believe in the best of mankind, but how, again, you know, Thomas Jefferson's words from his inaugural address come to mind. How is it that, you know, here we are again, the same old discussion. Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. We have to manage him. We have to mold him, shape him as we see fit. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings, philosopher kings, to govern him? So, you know, the Reese Committee proves a big change took place. It happened with an overwhelming consent of the majority. And it could not have happened that way unless education in the United States had been prepared in advance to endorse it. And so you have a small coterie of folks saying, this is what we want to do from the turn of the 20th century in particular. Start creating government institution, the National Institutes of Health, for example, the Eugenics Board, Department of Education, and, you know, all of these social sciences, little extensions of this coterie, the octopus as, or part of the octopus, as guys like Jack Otto might put it. The octopus. Or Danny Castellaro, you know, I went through the list. Danny Castellaro would make the list if it were, you know, the pre-9/11 list. Speaking of the octopus, secret government, and the death of Danny Castellaro. Anyway. So you have these folks who fancy themselves the rulers of us all. They're going to decide it's a benevolent dictatorship, except when, you know, it is, as far as they're concerned, unless, you know, I mean, it reminds me of the way that Alan Watt puts it, you know, charming, charismatic folks who are also sociopaths and psychopaths are not necessarily benevolent. They may give that appearance from time to time, because they don't act malevolently all the time, because, you know, to be charming and to be a charming and charismatic psychopath means that you kind of have to honor some modicum of social convention to get along with folks sometimes. Otherwise you're just going to have to murder everybody, which these people I don't think have any qualms about, but they'd rather manipulate people into doing their bidding. I mean, is it me, or is it grotesque to sit around and talk about, you know, the clash of the colored world against the developed world? Unbelievable. Do you think if we really understood, I mean, Adam Conover did the little deal, you know, Adam Ruins Everything on the diamond engagement ring. Why engagement rings are a scam. Adam Ruins Everything. We've played that. Cecil Rhodes, Rhodesia, De Beers. It just happens to be a couple months' salary. What a coincidence. The ghost of Edward Bernays strikes again. If people really knew, would it change anything? It's not just that it's a scam. It's the deeper conspiracy that the scam represents. It's a way to manipulate you as a battery, to borrow from the Matrix, to subsidize the further enslavement and manipulation of you and your fellow man. It becomes an infinite closed loop. We are the ultimate animal farm, so to speak. It's a closed-loop system that controls itself, that is self-sustaining. It's a sustainable closed-loop system. Wind it up and let it go. It's their own little ant farm or worm farm or whatever. Honestly, you get the picture of folks like these guys sitting around at the Rand Corporation looking at civilization like a worm farm. Is that what Bill Gates's city in, where is it, Arizona? Is that what that's going to be? Little $80 million worm farm? Let's study them. If you ask me, I wouldn't put anyone in physics or, you know, we're probably the last generation of physical inventors. The creative minority. I would put people in the study of psychology and sociology, in the field of psychology. Anyway. So, Edward Bernays says around the time that the Rees Committee, you know, shortly before the Rees Committee, right at the moment that the Rand Corporation is coming into existence formally, the Rees Committee says there are people who are trying to mess with other people, and education in the United States had been prepared in advance to endorse it. And then you have, shortly after that, you know, John Stormer, speaking of None Dare Call It Treason, quoted a little bit ago, him citing George Bernard Shaw, Chapter 6, Education. An entire chapter dedicated. It could be, you know, it should be maybe Chapter 1 in every book, but you understand, you know, you have to give people a little background into what the heck is going on here, and then you say, bam, this is how it happened. Education, he opens with a quote from Admiral Hyman Rickover: America is reaping the consequences of the destruction of traditional education by the Dewey-Kilpatrick experimentalist philosophy. Dewey's ideas have led to elimination of many academic subjects on the ground that they would not be useful in life. The student thus receives neither intellectual training nor the factual knowledge which will help him understand the world he lives in or to make well-reasoned decisions in his private life or as a responsible citizen. Oh, look, they're vicious. We have to figure out what to do. Well, wait a minute. Are you guys vicious? Are you uncultured, unprincipled folks? Well, I would argue unprincipled. Let's define terms. But, you know, uncivilized? Well, why can't, again, the argument breaks down very quickly. Why can't we just do these things? Why can't we give them the best education the world has ever seen and then decide? Let's do that for three or four generations. And then, you know, if we want to have a little worm farm, let's do that. No, you know, completely hands off. Speaking of autonomy, robots get autonomy, autonomous vehicles, but not really. It is a very ironic sort of metaphorical illusion. Autonomous vehicles, far from it. Far from it. Kind of like the autonomous passenger in the autonomous vehicle. Far from it. So why don't we just let them decide for themselves? Let's let man decide for himself. Oh no, you know, there would always be time lags, blind spots, points of weakness, and the engineering of consent would still be essential. Now we couldn't do that. Dewey's ideas have led to elimination of many academic subjects on the ground that they would not be useful in life. Really? So what's happening, you know, in this so-called education system, is any of it useful in life aside from or apart from manipulation and cybernetic totalist engineering? The student thus receives neither intellectual training nor the factual knowledge which will help him understand the world he lives in, or to make well-reasoned decisions in his private life or as a responsible citizen. So this is one book. Chapter 6, Education. Who was this man, Dewey, who is so roundly criticized by the renowned Hyman Rickover, the father of the nuclear submarine? John Dewey was an educational philosopher. His experimental philosophies of education were first tried in a model school at the University of Chicago before 1900. They were dismal failures. Children learned nothing. Undismayed, Dewey left Chicago in 1904 and went to Teachers College, Columbia University, where he became the dominant figure and the most influential man in American education. His influence can be measured by the realization that under Dewey's guidance, fully 20% of all American school superintendents and 40% of all teacher college heads received advanced degrees at Columbia. They adopted Dewey's experimental theories, which came to be known as progressive education, quote-unquote, in the schools of the nation. Under the pretext of improving teaching methods, they changed what was taught to American children. What did Dewey believe? Isn't that kind of an important consideration? That's what Thomas McNeice said in the Reese Committee hearings. In his writing and teaching, Dewey rejected fixed moral laws and eternal truths and principles. He adopted pragmatic relativist concepts as his guiding philosophy. Denying God, he held to the Marxist concept that man is without a soul or free will. Man is a biological organism, completely molded by his environment, Dewey believed. And so here we go, fast forward. The oppression of technocracy and cybernetics and, the oppression of math. Dewey believed that because man's environment is constantly changing, man also changes constantly. And what does the Bible say? Beware of those who are given to change, constant change. John in Tennessee reminds us, yeah. Dewey believed that because man's environment is constantly changing, man also changes constantly. Therefore, Dewey concluded teaching children any of the absolutes of morals, government, or ethics was a waste of time. Or maybe that's just the handmaiden of the kind of change guys like Dewey are interested in. After all, it is the dialectical way, is it not? We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. I just watched the interview of Noam Chomsky on Bernie Sanders and his chances of success in the 2020 presidential election. Man, Noam Chomsky is looking old. Holy cow. But, you know, germane to the discussion here is what he said at the end. I mean, the whole thing, you know, it's just, it's textbook Noam Chomsky. He's still an intellectual force, I would say, and, you know, no one to trifle with. He's slowed down to the point the rest of us can just about keep up with him, almost. Still not quite. But it's the same thing here, you know, these folks who fancy themselves, everyone else is better, and they just can't seem to keep their hands off their fellow man. Progressive legislation, you know, Sanders, you know, his the the problem that he would face were he to get elected is that U.S. politics are dominated by wealth, and we see that all the time. The wealthy basically control legislation, so that barriers against carrying out progressive legislation, like what, are quite high. So, you know, he could get elected, but it would require an enormous popular mobilization, like what took place in the 1930s. What? That enabled the New Deal measures to be carried out. Are you kidding me? It's interesting, the gaffes and faux pas. It's not really a gaffe or a faux pas, but it should be, I think, viewed that way. Because, you know, the irony is painful. What are you saying? What do you, you know, get to the point? Stuart Chase is the guy who wrote The New Deal. He literally wrote the book on the subject, A New Deal. Stuart Chase. So is that a peek behind the wizard's curtain? Who is the Stuart Chase of the Bernie Sanders administration? You see what I'm saying? I've talked about the Justice Democrats, for example, as a very similar model. So, you know, it wouldn't be surprising. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez never met a foot that she couldn't stick in her mouth before she finally got her sound bites, you know, polished all up. Her politispeak. Is that, you know, what matters in America? Is it the polish? Is it the form or the substance? I grew up believing that it was the substance that mattered. And it's just interesting, you know, how the Joseph Goebbels who grow up with some kind of impediment end up trying to get back at the world, you know, take their revenge on the world for whatever childhood trauma they feel they suffered. So Stuart Chase was the author of The New Deal, and Noam Chomsky is saying, you know, Bernie Sanders would have an uphill battle, you know, unless he could mobilize enormous popular his election would require an enormous popular mobilization, like the 1930s, which was predicated on what? A fomented problem, fomented crisis, that they'd been working on for decades already, the Morgan folks in particular, as a proxy. And then you end up with some stuff from a small handful of folks, including particularly one guy, Stuart Chase. And you would think, I mean, if anybody would know that, if anybody knows that, Noam Chomsky knows that. Come on. You know? That's a softball for a guy like Noam Chomsky. Why don't we hear that? Rhetorical question. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
That's nice. Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, December 12th, 2019. We played Norman Dodd's interview, the Norman Dodd interview, G. Edward Griffin interviewing Norman Dodd back in 1982. We played that this summer. And again, I was surprised how many people had never heard that. Everyone should hear that and really... the irreconcilable conflicts that were unleashed on the American people and people everywhere. This is what these guys are notorious for, creating problems and then saying, oh, we got a solution for that. Well, you created a problem. That one, you said you had a solution to it, created two more problems. You said you had a solution for that. That created four. It's this exponential rise in conflict and problems. That's the business they're in. And it would be great, we would all do well to understand that's the business they're in. That is why IBM is telling you the truth, when they run goofy commercials like Smart Loves Problems. Smart Loves Problems. What? Smart Loves Problems. What kind of nonsense is that? Again, to me, it's, reductio ad absurdum. I digress. But I think it would be also good for us to understand who these people are and what sort of ideological leaning they come from. Speaking of Buckminster Fuller, even the Oracle Illusion mentions that experience that he had, a sphere of light, and a voice spoke to him. You belong to universe. Your significance will remain forever obscure to you, but you may assume that you are fulfilling your role if you apply yourself to converting your experiences to the highest advantage of others. Right, but where are those notions coming from? And so if you ask me how I feel about it, what do you think? Do you want to be influenced by this guy? I would say absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't want to be influenced by anyone who believes they belong to universe. No offense, but your own presumptions. But you know, by the same token, I wouldn't fancy myself the better of anyone, trying to inflict myself upon others. I thought that was the American way. I grew up believing that we should leave each other alone. I grew up in one of those little enclaves, I guess, the place where, you know, that problem, the little valley on earth that was so far removed from every neighboring valley. I thought that was a good thing. And of course, you go back a little further and it's a problematic history. Again, not to dismiss that in any way. Absolutely not. The utter annihilation of culture and people groups to create this homogenous dystopia is one of the greatest travesties of recorded history. And it's a particular tragedy because of the way it's been sanitized from recorded history. And, you know, I mentioned, 2 weeks ago now? Going on three? Hawaii as an example. And just in the last 60 years or so, you know, Hawaii was a very different, it was an entirely different world. Speaking of little valleys on earth far removed, it was paradise. So, has it had its intended effect, the net effect yet? The consequences, you know, of homogenizing every people group the world over. And you have to ask, where this is all headed, what I'm talking about specifically. Obviously the broader context of the subject matter, where is this manipulation of mankind headed? No one can be left to themselves. Why? So in my discussion of this, you have to ask, what is the critical end of all of this? Why? What is the purpose of this? And so we get to utopia, and then what? What's the point? What's the purpose? I think that Francis Fukuyama tells us, it's our post-human future, the signs are everywhere. Who's naming generations X, Y, and Z? Why? What comes after Z? And so you discover that, you know, contrary to popular belief, it was sort of a misnomer to think that guys like Dewey are irreligious. There really is no such thing as an atheist. There really isn't. Certainly not in the case of folks like John Dewey or Buckminster Fuller. And so what you... At least in my investigation of all of this, where is this all headed? You come back to what Gary Kaa has written about, and a very religious devotion to something or other beneath the surface that seems to harken back to Pike's letter to Mazzini, August 15, 1871. A date that lives in infamy. Just ask Nixon. And three world wars, the outline of three world wars, the third in particular, unleashing the nihilists and the atheists. For what purpose? You know, a formidable social cataclysm. Why? there's this character lurking behind the scenes, Charles Baudelaire, you know, quoted from The Usual Suspects, greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he doesn't exist. And then suddenly the open conspiracy comes out into full view, and what, you know? People not knowing where to honor or give their adoration or whatever, you know, actually, you know, deceived by the delusion of Christianity. It's not. It's, you know, the Union Jack, 1971. Feigned persecution and counterfeit Christianity. Basically destroying Christianity and everything through this, you know, through the virus that Christianity becomes the carrier of, and the counterfeit Christianity, essentially. The whole world is polluted by it, and then everybody says, oh, well, you know, God save me from your people, now what? And the devil comes out into the open conspiracy on center stage and says, here I am. I gave you all these great things, all these wonderful things. Now worship me. Only you don't get the option. That's what these guys are doing. They are emulating their leadership, essentially. You don't get the option. We'll give you the worship chip until CRISPR perfects the worship gene, and then we'll just splice it into you. The worship gene. Sounds far out, doesn't it? But look at what's happening. You know, the Rand Corporation is still around, isn't it? Are they still studying the same problems, how to manipulate their fellow man? Why? Why, generation after generation? I agree with what Kennedy said. You know, the object here should be to the press, in particular, the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we're supposed to be able to look to them for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent. The paragraph before that, he mentions Bacon, which is, you know, all of those esoteric allusions in that speech, among others. The compass, gunpowder, and the printing press. Anyway, so to know all of these things, what, you know, how does that change things for each one of us? You know, the chapter on education, None Dare Call It Treason, Chapter 6, Education. Here's another book, Ralph Epperson's Unseen Hand, Chapter 36, Education. I've gone through that. Here's another book, Lies My Teacher Told Me, by James Lone. Everything Your American History Textbook Got Wrong. I thought that Eric Schmidt said there's one answer. Maybe Eric Schmidt should start tackling education and the right answer. You know? Being facetious. Speaking of these folks, I saw an article yesterday. Larry Page is quietly funding efforts to develop a universal flu vaccine. Oh, again, such a benevolent philanthropic. His flu fighting programs run through private for-profit companies. What could possibly go wrong? Program offers free flu shots to children in Oakland, California area schools. Page also has a second company funding efforts to create a universal flu vaccine. The free flu shots are offered through a group called Shoo the Flu. Isn't that cute? Oh, it's just heartwarming. We started funding flu shots for both elementary and kindergarten through eighth grade schools in 2014. Shoo the Flu reimburses the Alameda County Public Health Department and school districts for the cost of the program. Fascism hard at work. Isn't that nice? Kind of gentler fascism. It's a happy fascism, as Jonah Goldberg might say. The second company, Flu Lab, provides funding for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's grand challenge for universal flu influenza vaccine development. Page and his family were initially contributing funding to the challenge directly, but they were replaced by Flu Lab. Flu Lab also supports the nonprofit Sabin Vaccine Institute, which works to expand vaccine access. You know, the real, according to, you know, the Anglophile network, the real issue, the real problem that we have to contend with in the 21st century is the clash of the colored world against the developed world. Funding established the Sabin Aspen Vaccine Science and Policy Group. I mean, talk about truth in advertising. Sabin Aspen Vaccine Science and Policy Group. So, you see these kinds of things and you start wondering. So the way that James Lowen put it, and, you know, events history, you know, as I've talked about, James Lowen put it particularly well, they all seem to just unfold in melodramatic fashion. Oh my goodness, it was all preordained, foreshadowed, foredestined, or whatever. Chapter 6, John Brown and Abraham Lincoln, The Invisibility of Anti-Racism in American History Textbooks, or in 21st Century Media. Wink, wink. Lowen writes, perhaps the most telling criticism Francis Fitzgerald made in her 1979 survey of American history textbooks, America Revised, was that they leave out ideas. As presented by textbooks of the 1970s, quote, American political life was completely mindless, she observed. I wonder if that was intentional, speaking of Dewey and friends. Why would textbook authors avoid even those ideas with which they agree? It's a valuable question, don't you think? It's a worthwhile question. Taking ideas seriously, Lowen wrote, does not fit with the rhetorical style of textbooks, which presents events so as to make them seem foreordained along a line of constant progress, wink, wink. Including ideas would make history contingent. Things could go either way and have on occasion. The right people armed with the right ideas have not always won. In fact, I would argue most of the time they don't in contemporary history. When they didn't, the authors would be in an embarrassing position of having to disapprove of an outcome in the past. Including ideas would introduce uncertainty, and that's the key. This is not textbook style. Textbooks unfold history without real drama or suspense, only melodrama. You're not supposed to think that you are a decider, certainly not for yourself. You are supposed to believe in auto-determinism, only it's not, is it? Question is always who decides. And it is interesting, you know, James writes, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, ought to expect nothing. But we have an organism, as the social scientists would have us believe, this society that emulates its leadership, so-called, and is oppressive and abusive in the fashion that Paulo Freire wrote about, Pedagogy of the Oppressed. And that, to me, is one of the greatest travesties. People can't see the oxymoronic nature of their own oppressive behavior, putting upon one another, trying to manipulate one another, just emulating, you know, the Borg, essentially. It's the hive mind way. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back. One example of the herd emulating its purported leadership is the flu nonsense. And I mentioned the Verge story that was posted yesterday. Larry Page is quietly funding efforts to develop a universal flu vaccine. You know what? If you're a propagandist and you want to engineer consent, don't let facts get in the way. Don't let logical fallacies confuse people. You know, don't confuse me with the facts, all that kind of stuff. Here's the video from that article. Go ahead, please.
Getting your flu shot spreads the flu. Last year, about half of all Americans who should get a flu shot didn't. And who should get the shot? Pretty much everyone over 6 months old. And yet millions don't bother with the flu vaccine.
So don't be one of those people, and please don't use any of these excuses.
I heard some people get the flu from the flu shot.
No, you can't get the flu from a vaccine. Flu shots contain either a dead flu virus or bits of viral protein to stimulate your immune system. Neither can give you the flu.
You could end up with some mild flu symptoms for a couple days, but that's it.
I got the flu shot last year, and I still got the flu. What's the point?
Yes, you might still get the flu. There are lots of strains of flu out there, and one vaccine can't cover them all.
But your risk will be lower, and if you get the flu anyway, the vaccine can still help you fight it off quicker.
Think of the shot like a bike helmet. It might not prevent an accident, but it can still help you if you get in one.
I'm healthy. There are other people who need it more than me.
There is enough to go around, and if there isn't, just trust your doctor.
There was a nationwide flu vaccine shortage in 2009, and some states prioritized giving the shot to elderly or pregnant patients. So get the shot unless a professional tells you otherwise.
I've never gotten the shot, and I've never had the flu.
That's great, but you're still at risk, so don't chance it. And even if you've never been sick, it's not just about you. Getting a flu vaccine makes you less likely to pass it to others, so elderly or sick people are made safer by your shot. And if everyone gets vaccinated, big epidemics are stopped before they start. There's only one real asterisk here. If you have a serious allergy to vaccines or any vaccine component, talk to your doctor before you get a flu shot.
Really, if you have questions about any of this, just talk to your doctor first. They'll know what to do, and they'll probably recommend a flu shot. All right. That's it.
Ta-da! That's it. Yep, that's it. Don't worry about the facts. You know, just trust your doctor. Just get the shot. Don't worry about the logical fallacies that abound. The oxymoronic nonsense. Don't worry about any of that. Just trust your doctor. It's like, you know, it's like a bicycle helmet. Yeah. Prioritizing the elderly and pregnant women. That's a good idea. You know, don't get the shot if you're allergic to, you have any, you know, allergic reaction to the shot or any of its ingredients. Well, who's telling you what the ingredients are? And by the way, how are you supposed to know if you don't? You see what I'm saying? It's an oxymoron. So, how many people are reading package inserts these days? That'll do it for the second hour. Third hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.